In chapter 17, there again there's a little bit about money. The coming of the Son of Man will be, he's talking about the coming of the Son of Man in verse 22 onwards, the days will come on you when one of the days of the Son of Man. For the coming of the Son of Man, verse 24, will be the lightning that flashes from one part of the sky to another. So will the Son of Man. So there's not going to be any secret rapture like some people teach. No. The lightning is not secret. There are people who teach that there'll be a secret rapture and then for 7 years there'll be tribulation and then Christ will come back. No. There's one coming of Christ, not a second and a third coming. He comes, it will be like the lightning. There will be a period of tribulation before that, but it will be the lightning everybody sees. Jesus said in Matthew 24, don't be deceived when somebody says, oh, he's come there or he's come there. No, 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 no. It will be like the lightning. It will be like the lightning is coming. But he said, it will be like the days of Lot, verse 28. In the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking because they had plenty of money. And they were buying and selling and they had all that money. But they didn't take care of sin in their lives. And this fire and brimstone, verse 29, like hell, rained upon Sodom and destroyed them all. It will be like that in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. It will be sudden. On that day, if you're on the housetop, if your goods are in the house, don't go down to take it. Don't say, oh, I got my property there. Don't be attached. The point there is don't be attached to anything earthly. If you're on the rooftop and Christ comes, say, I'm ready to go. I don't have any attachment to any of my goods or property or money or my bank account here. And that's the meaning of that if you want to read it. And if you're out in the field, you shouldn't have to say, hey, I've got to go back and ask forgiveness from my wife. I yelled at her this morning and I came to work in the field. I didn't apologize and the Lord is coming. Oh, Lord, hang on. Let me go back home and apologize to my wife. No, you should have apologized as soon as you're aware of it. Within 1 minute of your getting angry, you should apologize so that you're ready for the Lord's coming, even if you're in the field or in the office or anywhere. In other words, keep short accounts with God. Short accounts. As soon as you're aware of something, settle it. Then he said, remember Lot's wife. Here's where the money part comes in. The Lord had told Lot and his wife, when you go, don't ever look back to this place where you came to make money. Why did Lot go to Sodom? Abraham said, go where you like. And it says that Lot, what a generous man Abraham was. You choose. I'm the one whom God called. You just followed along with me. But I'll give you first choice. And you read there, he looked at the fields of Sodom and said, boy, that's the place to make money. And I'll go. And you know the end of what he got. All those people who pursue after money, one day it'll end up like that. He went there. And he made money. He got captured once and Abraham had to go and release him. But he still did not learn his lesson. He said, I'm making a lot of money here. It's just multiplying leaps and bounds. And I'm going to concentrate on that. He had a godly uncle, Abraham. He would not listen to him. Anyway, God had mercy on him for Abraham's sake and said one day when he went, sent the angel, said, get out of here and don't look back. Don't look back. Forget it. Go and save your life. And we read there that Lot's wife looked back. She wasn't curious to see whether the fire was burning. She was thinking of all her fancy clothes that were getting burnt up. She was thinking of the lovely garden that was getting burnt up. She was thinking of all the money stored up in their house that was getting burnt up. Looking back and say, oh, I'll never see all that again. And it says she became a pillar of stone, of salt, pillar of salt. That's a warning. And Jesus said it, remember Lot's wife. She had the opportunity to escape. But she wanted to look there and look back. God and money. That's the warning. Look in one direction. Okay? You just got to go through quickly. You can take your own time to read these wonderful chapters. We saw chapter 16, chapter 17. We go to chapter 18 now. Chapter 18, verse 18. There was a ruler who came and said, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" See, eternal life was not something spoken of in the Old Testament. This chap had gone beyond the Old Testament. And he was wanting eternal life. What must I do to get eternal life? You'd think, what a sincere soul wanting to know the truth. But very often, when people want to know the truth, they're not willing to pay the price for it. It's quite possible that some of you sitting here may want eternal life. The question is whether you're willing to pay the price for it. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's no one good except God. You know the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't murder, don't steal, don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." He says, "All these things I've kept from my youth up." And he said, "There's one thing you still lack." If you noticed in those commandments there, he left out the 10th commandment in verse 20. He went all the way up to number 9. The first 4 related to God. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's what he mentioned in verse 20. And he said, "I've kept all this." Let's talk about the 10th one, covetousness. In Colossians 3, 5, it says, "Covetousness is a form of idolatry. To covet is to desire something you don't have." And the 10th commandment, which nobody could keep, it was a test to see how many people will be honest to say, "Lord, I can't keep it. Please help me." Paul was that. He says that in Romans 7. "I could keep all the commandments, but when it came to the 10th one, I just kept on failing because I found all types of covetousness, lust for this and lust for that, lust for women and lust for money, all there in my heart, and I couldn't keep myself. Oh, wretched man that I am," he says, "who shall deliver me?" Read Romans 7. "But I thank God through Jesus Christ." He knew there was deliverance in Christ. We couldn't say that in the Old Testament. So we say God put that 10th commandment there, knowing nobody could keep it, just to see how many people would be honest and say, "Lord, I can't keep that. There's covetousness in my heart." Then God could lead them, like Paul, to something further, to salvation. It's the same today. You cannot serve God in money. Nobody can save themselves. God, the Lord, sees who is going to be honest and acknowledge, "Lord, I love money too much. It means I don't really love you." Well, he said, "One thing you lack. You love money too much." Verse 22. "Sell all that you possess. 100%. Give it away to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven." Does Jesus ask everybody to do that? No, you read in the next chapter, you read about Zacchaeus who gave only half his goods to the poor, and Jesus said, "That's fine." Lazarus and Mary and Martha, Jesus went to their house, they had a house of their own, and he never told them to sell their house or sell all that they have. To different people, he had to tell the different degrees to which they had to give up. It's like cancer. You know, when a person has cancer and he goes to a doctor, the doctor says, "You've come too late. You're gone beyond the 4th stage of cancer. That organ has to be completely removed from you, from your body." And they remove that organ 100%. Chemotherapy will not help you. The organ has to be removed 100%. But he says, "But doctor, that other person had the same cancer in the same organ, but his organ was not removed." The doctor says, "He was in the 1st stage. Yours is beyond the 4th stage." It's like that with the love of money. Some are in the initial stages where the Lord says, "Well, it's not so bad with you, so you don't have to give up everything." But some have gone so far in it that the Lord says, "There's no cure for this cancer in your case, but total removal." That's why the Lord spoke differently to He didn't tell Lazarus and Martha and all to give up everything. But he did tell this man. And this man was very sad. Imagine the doctor saying, "Listen, if you remove this completely, you'll be healed of your cancer and you can live for many more years." And if that chap says, no, I love that organ inside my body, I love that part of my body, well, if the doctor says, you'll die within a few weeks, but I love this part of my body, what do you think, that man's crazy? That's how crazy this guy was. He was very sad. He wanted to retain that part, that cancerous part of his life. And he went away. I've often thought about that man. It was a real human body. It was not a story. It was a real person. I wondered, where is that man today? If he never repented till the end of his life, he is definitely in hell. You got plenty in hell. You get thousands of years to think about your decisions on earth. What do you think of his decision? He says, once in my life, I had a choice to make, and I made the wrong choice. Or, let's hope, he repented at least sometime later on in his life, maybe when he was 85 years old or something, and died a few days later and went to heaven, like the dying thief. And people who think, ah, he went to heaven, that's it. You know what's going to happen to such people in heaven? I believe this. They're going to have an eternity of... They're in heaven, okay, but they're having an eternity of regret when they see Jesus and see how much he loved them and gave himself for them and how selfishly they lived for themselves in their entire life. Never did a thing for him on this earth. They're happy they're in heaven. I don't think they'll be supremely happy. That's my conviction.